We're in 3 John. We're looking at verses 9 to 11. We will, Lord willing, finish our study of the book next Sunday night, and then Fars will be here 2 weeks from tonight, 3 weeks from tonight. We begin a study of the book of Revelation. Before we look at this text tonight, let's bow and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the word and for those here to partake of it. We pray your blessing on this evening hour, and we'll thank and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin tonight by reading something that was written many years ago by Dr. J. Vernon McGee, the famed Through the Bible teacher. I'm quoting him. There are many men who may mean well, but who enjoy leading in the church. They enjoy being up before a group of people. For the most part, the ones I've met are almost Bible ignoramuses. They know very little about the Word of God. But they love to talk, and their talk has actually sometimes caused me to bow my head in shame as I was sitting there on the platform. Some of the things they say are totally unscriptural, totally beside the point, and as dead as a doornail. There are many who ought to keep quiet in the church. Remember, Paul said, study to be quiet. Instead of trying to teach young people to talk, we ought to teach them to keep quiet because we have many older ones today who talk too much. My friend, we ought to not talk in church unless we have something to say, unless we have something from God to say. Many folks want to be up front in church. Not only have I met Diotrephus, but I've also met Mrs. Diotrephus in the church today. May I say that there are certain people who ought not to sing solos in the church. They do not bring glory to God, and sometimes they select songs which absolutely hurt the service rather than help it. My friend, you ought to search your heart before God before you stand up in church and begin to sing or talk. Some soloists like to make a little talk before they sing a song. Many times the message they bring is just about as phony as anything can be. They want to tell you why they're going to sing a particular song. Why don't they just sing the song? All of us need to search our hearts, even ministers. Why are we presiding? Why are we leading? Why are we singing? Do we love to have the preeminence? Are you doing this for the glory of God? I thank God that when I think about this particular church, we have, for the most part, people in this church who are great servants. Many of the men and women that I know are behind-scenes people. In fact, they don't like to be up in front of people. They don't like to have the acclaim. They don't like to have the applause. They just as soon work for the Lord behind the scenes in a very quiet way. But that's not always the way it works in a church. Fact of the matter is, in a previous ministry that we had, I had many people who were nothing more than Diotrephus types. Most of them loved to be up in front of people, even though they didn't regularly come to services. When they were challenged, if they were going to be on the board to be at church services to be a good example to the flock, they didn't like that challenge, even though when they were at church, they wanted to sit up on the platform in front of people. Now, in every church ministry, sooner or later, there will be a Diotrephus or a Mrs. Diotrephus who will surface. They're not in ministry to bring glory to God. They're not in the church to bring glory to God. They're not doing a work because God has called them to do the work. That's not their heart. They're in church because they want to bring glory to themselves. There are certain people who actually creep into leadership positions, who love power, they love the public eye, they love the limelight, but they're not real servants of God. These kinds of people may teach Sunday school classes, they may be musical, they may be gifted, they may be successful, but the common denominator of all these people is they have their own agenda. And their agenda is not to bring glory to God. The problem is not new to our dispensation. The problem is not new to what J. Vernon McGee saw. This problem is as old as the Apostle John. Because it's exactly what he faced when he wrote these verses in 3 John. Just as Gaius was such a wonderful man in the church, there was another guy in the church who wasn't such a wonderful man. His name was Diotrephus. He was an evil man. He went to the same church. You see, in a church, you can have people, wonderful people, many of them, but you can also have a handful who, frankly, are evil. They're out for themselves. They're egotists. Their whole goal is to get the applause and the power and the positions. The Diotrephus type is a type who opposes a Gaius type. A Gaius type is a faithful servant who does what he can to serve the Lord. A Diotrephus type does what he can to get the power. And so when John writes these verses, he has a strong message that he communicates. This is probably the last thing that he writes. And what he says here is, this Diotrephes person is an evil person. And I don't want you mimicking him. He loves to elevate himself. And I want him publicly exposed and not imitated. That's basically what he says in these verses. There's this Diotrephes who loves to have the preeminence in the church. This is the guy who's evil. He loves to elevate himself. He's out for self-gain. He'll even raise himself up above the Word of God. And this is the kind of person that you need to know about. You need to spot this person. You need to put a name to this person. He needs to be publicly exposed, and you don't want to imitate this person. Now, a Diotrephes is not someone with just a personality problem. If we carefully go down through these verses tonight, as we will, this is a person who has a very serious spiritual problem. They have somehow manipulated their way into conning people. They have somehow maneuvered their way into positions of power. And as I'll suggest to you tonight, it's very possible they're not even saved. They can get people to listen to them. They have an uncanny ability to win people over to their side. They can get a following. They can get people to somehow listen to what they have to say. But they also can ruin a church. And John wanted that point very clear. Now, in these verses, there are three key points that he communicates that I want to show you. First of all, there was a person who was a real problem in the church. Notice verse 9. I wrote something to the church, but the Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. Now, here's the problem with the Diotrephes type. They just don't go away. What you wish would happen to a Diotrephes type is they just leave the church. Just quietly slip off into the sunset, not cause any problems with people, and just basically disappear. That's what you would like to have happen, but that's not how a Diotrephes works. This Diotrephes was not in any major doctrinal disagreement. This Diotrephes does not appear to be necessarily attacking the key doctrines of the faith, although there certainly were certain things taught by the apostles that he would not accept. But the problem with this guy was he stayed in the church and he influenced other people. Now, I want you to notice that there are five facts brought out from this one verse about this guy. First of all, this man was in the church. I wrote something to the church, but the Diotrephes loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. W.H. Griffith Thomas says, the Diotrephes is the father of a long line of sons. These are people who are in the church. These are people who want to run and rule everything. This man was in this church, and this man was in some position of leadership. Doesn't say specifically he was a board member, but he could have been. He may have been some type of aggressive member. He was a guy who wanted to run what was going on. He was a very real person. He was alive. He was in the church at the time that John wrote this. He was very present in that local church. Judith Liu, who's written a good commentary on 2nd and 3rd John, said that he had the support and backing of a majority of its members. There were people listening to this guy at the church. In fact, by virtue of the fact John has to write this, that becomes very obvious. Which tells us something very important, ladies and gentlemen. Just because a bunch of people rally around a guy, or just because a bunch of people rally around a woman and make it sound like he's okay, doesn't mean the person is. The fact of the matter is, this Diotrephes had his own little support group. This Diotrephes was a guy who was obviously high-ranked in this particular congregation, but he was not right with God. In fact, we'll convince you, I think a little later, he wasn't even saved. But he was in the church, and he was a leader in the church, even though he didn't have a heart right with the Lord. He was in church. The second fact brought out is this man is named. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes. I mean, his name was Diotrephes. This man was not only named in the local church in which he was a problem, but you think about this, this man's named in all of the Bible for everybody in the church age to read about. He made a name for himself, and what a lousy name he made for himself. It was not a name of a great servant of the Lord who wanted to do what he could to help build the church. He made a name for himself as being a guy who was looking out for himself. Now, there's a place for naming people. I know that seems foreign to the day and age in which we live, but there is a place for naming people. There's a place for pointing people out. One old Bible teacher used to say, silence is golden, but sometimes it's just plain yellow. When you look into the scriptures, there are times when there are those who did evil were named. Moses named people. Jesus Christ was not afraid to name people. Paul named people. And obviously this apostle who is the beloved apostle, who's often called the apostle of love, the apostle John, he named people. Now when someone is in a church and they're demolishing the church, and they're demolishing the teaching. They need to be stopped. And one way you stop them is to point them out. You name them. You say, there's one that's not walking right. There's one who doesn't believe right. There's one that's walking in a way that's foreign to the Scriptures. And John does that right here. He names this guy. His name was Diotrephus. Listen, I just read an article on the fact that in most churches, discipline is gone. In many churches, the churches are afraid to discipline someone publicly. But the statement was this. When discipline leaves the church, it isn't long before Jesus Christ has left the church. The fact of the matter is, discipline is required at times. And when you've got a Diotrephus type who's dominating people and moving them in a way that's wrong before the Lord, he needs to be dealt with. What's so ironic is that sometimes people want to rally around a Diotrephus type. They want to support him and never call him out. Never name him. Never point out the evil arrogance. They'll listen to him. They'll actually attack those that are real servants of God, who love the Lord, who are doing a work for God. They'll attack them, but not this Diotrephus type who really needs to be named and attacked. The third fact that's brought out is Diotrephus was against apostolic writing. Now notice verse 9. I wrote something to the church. I wrote something. But Diotrephus, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. I want you to notice the emphasis that John has on apostolic writing. And when John says, I wrote something, only he doesn't accept it. This is a very serious charge. Because you begin to get the picture here of a man who actually thought he was more important to the church than the things the apostles were writing to the church. And we know that the apostles were writing to the church the inspired word of God. This Diotrephus was a man who held himself up over the word of God. When one begins to think that his own opinions are just as inspired as the Word of God that is written, that's a Diotrephus type. When one thinks that his views on issues which are not addressed in Scripture are just as inspired as what God did address in Scripture, that's a Diotrephus type. I recall being with a wise man who was in the presence of one who was telling others that they could not go into a restaurant if the restaurant served drinks. And this wise man said, show me that in the Bible. Show me that in the Scriptures. And the guy became very frustrated. He became red-faced, and you could see that he was increasing in his anger. He said, there is no place in Scripture where that principle is taught. You're making that up. Stick to the Word of God. You're on safe ground. But don't invent things. This man had actually made this one of his own codes for trying to judge people's spirituality. And he had invented this. He had become a Diotrephus type who viewed himself and his views as more important than the written revelation of God. Listen, God says, I magnify my Word above all else. A Diotrephus type says, I magnify myself above all else, including the Word. Now, the Apostle John wrote something specifically to this church, and there's an article before the noun church, the church, meaning this is the same local church that Gaius was in. John had written something, and the members of the church were given this written information, but Diotrephus would not receive it. Now, the thing that's so interesting about this is he did not know whether or not this was an inspired letter of God when he got that. He didn't know whether or not this was one of the inspired books of the Bible when the Apostle John sent whatever he wrote to this church. But I want you to see the point. It didn't matter to him. You see, to a Diotrephus type, he thinks he's more important than what's written to the church from Almighty God. A Diotrephus type is one who does not like to focus on the written Word of God. His focus is, I want to get up in front of people. It doesn't matter what I have to say. It doesn't matter if what I'm communicating is even true. I just want to be up in front of people. I don't care about the written Scripture. So as a result of that, you'll see a Diotrephus type who will basically say, it doesn't matter what we do in church. It doesn't matter if we replace preaching in the Word of God, as long as I get to stand up in front of people and introduce the movie or introduce the music, as long as I get to be up in front of the crowd, it doesn't matter what's going on there because I'm Diotrephus and I like to have the preeminence. I had a pastor friend who had a Diotrephus type in his church. He did not like Bible conferences. But man, would he promote a circus if you'd have it. If you'd have a circus in the church, boy, he'd be on the front platform promoting that, but not just to hear the Scriptures. That's the way Diotrephus types operate. The fourth fact is they continually love to be first. You'll notice what he says in verse 9, he loves to be first among them. That's an interesting Greek word. Philo protuon, comprised of two words, philos, emotional love, and then protos, which is first in time, place, and rank. So you put those two words together, that's where you get this idea in English, he loves to be first. He has an emotional love to be first in time, place, and rank. Let me say it another way. A Diotrephes type gets a real emotional charge out of being first in church, even if God isn't first. He loves to be first. And it's present tense in its verb, which means this is the continual way this guy thinks. This is the continual and habitual character this man has. In other words, a Diotrephes type is not just a quirk or slip out of character to want to be first. This is his character. This is the way this guy operates. In the church, Diotrephes types continually strive to be first, even above the written word of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with you wanting to do your best for God. In whatever you are given to do, I hope that is your attitude. You want to do your best for God. That's a healthy, holy attitude to have. I want to give it my best for the glory of God. But there is something wrong if you want to be first for yourself. And that's what a Diotrephes type wants. They want to be first so they can elevate themselves. They're not interested in the peace and prosperity of the church. What they're interested in is being first in the church. And Diotrephes types are those kinds of people, and John was facing one right here. The fifth fact is he continually rejected apostolic authority. Notice he does not accept what we say. Now you get another glimpse as to what makes these guys tick. They do not like any authority. They hate authority. Fact of the matter is, it didn't matter if it were the Apostle John or it were the Apostle Paul or it were Jesus Christ. They do not accept what the apostles say. And the tense of the verb, does not accept, would indicate this was continual action. What this means is Diotrephes continually rejected the authority and the instruction of the Apostle John and apostolic instruction. Now, we know that the church was built upon a foundation of the teaching of the apostles. This guy was in the church and he was continually rejecting the teaching of the apostles. And what you learn here is a very important principle. A Diotrephes type will not submit himself to the true authority of the Word of God. He wants to be first in the church, even over the written Word of God. The authority for a Diotrephes type is not the Word, it is himself. Many years ago, in another ministry, one of the elders called Marion Asker to do something in the church that he wanted her specifically to carry out. So she immediately got at it to do what she had been asked to do. There was a woman in the church who got wind of this, and she became very angry, and she notified Mary that unless she got permission from this woman, she couldn't do it. And Mary said, an elder of the church asked me to carry out this assignment. I don't need your permission. When an elder of a church asks me to do something and gives me a task, I'm going to respond to what he's asked me to do. That woman hated authority. She hated anything that resembled authority. She did not like elders that ruled the church. She wanted to be the authority. She was a Mrs. Diotrephes. And the church must always be on guard for people like this, because they can manipulate their way into the fellowship. They do not submit themselves to the true authority of the Word of God or the true authority that's in the church. In fact, if it comes down to a choice between the written Word of God and their opinions, they'll choose their opinions every single time. Which brings us to the second point. The Apostle John intended to personally do something about the problem. Notice verse 10. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does unjustly, accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. One writer said, the triumph of wicked people is always short-lived. What John specifically says he'll do when he gets there is, I'll call attention. to exactly what this guy is doing and exactly what's motivating him. And that verb call attention is one that indicates John intended to remember, to bring up, to mention this man's evil. He was going to march into this church and actually call this guy out. He was going to go head to head with this man. He was going to name what he was doing. Now, John was not just going to forgive and forget. John's attitude toward Diotrephes was, now let's just let bygones be bygones and let's just sweep this under the carpet. He said, I intend to come into that fellowship and I'm going to publicly and I'm going to openly discuss the evil deeds of this man. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know that seems so foreign to our day and age, which is almost afraid to call anything anything. We don't even want to call sin sin anymore. But the fact of the matter is, there is a place for having a meeting, and those who've done evil are pointed out, they're named, they're discussed. There is a place for not forgetting. We're losing sight of this, but it's true. We have never really had to call a congregational meeting to name names of those that are seeking to destroy a church. Here we haven't. We have had to, on occasion, name names of those who are under discipline because of what they've done. But the fact of the matter is, if someone is stifling the church, if someone is trying to take charge of the church contrary to the scriptures, they've got to be stopped. And if it means there's a congregational meeting that publicly exposes them, then that's what must be done. That's what John was willing to do here. Now, John spells out three specific evils that Diotrephes was continually involved in. Number one, he unjustly accuses those right with God. Verse 10, he says, I'll call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. Now, that's tough to combat. Unjust, untrue accusations are tough to fight. In fact, it's possible that only John the Elder, and that's how he introduces himself in verse 1, could see the defamatory nature of what Diotrephes was doing. I'm not sure that the rest of the people in the church even had a clue of his motive or what he was saying, but John did. John said, I want you to understand something. This is a guy who is unjustly accusing us with wicked words. He was in a position to analyze what he was saying in light of truth, and he said, this guy is way out of line. But I want you to notice what Diotrephes types do. They work behind the scenes. They do their dirty work behind people's backs. They viciously and verbally attack one that's right with God. They've got their own agenda. It's their own arrogant agenda. And they're not presenting words that are sound and true. In fact, they're not sound and true. They're people who do a diabolical Diotrephes type of work in the church, and they're sneaking around and they're saying things that aren't true, bits and pieces of truth. They're unjustly accusing people with wicked words, and it needs to be stopped. The second fact is, he does not receive true teachers of the word. Verse 10, he says, nor does he himself receive the brethren. Now, there's an article before the noun brethren, which means that John has specific brethren in mind. The brethren he has in mind are those true apostolic representatives that were going from church to church. Now remember, at this time period, they don't have Bibles, so the apostles were sending representatives from them to these various churches to give them instruction. And when these brethren would go to the churches to present truth and present sound doctrine, Diotrephes would not receive them. He would not listen to them. In fact, he would actually invent things against them. And I've seen that stuff. A number of years ago, in a church that was founded by Dick Manion, I saw a group of people who made accusations against him that were unfounded and untrue. The man who God used to found the church. They just started saying things. Just that evil work. This Diotrephes type of work. The third evil that they were involved in is they attacked those who support the true teachers of the word. Notice verse 10, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. There were some people in the church that realized, wait a minute, these are true teachers. These are teachers who've been sent by apostles. And some of the people said, hey, we need to take these guys into our home. We need to minister to them. Gaius was one guy who did just that very thing. And he would not only attack them for taking these teachers into their home, he'd put them out of the church. And again, the present tense verb indicates this was his continual action. So here's what you've got. You've got Gaius. He's taking people into his home. He's caring for them. He's providing for them because they're true teachers of God. Then you have Diotrephes, who's putting them out of the church. Listen, if you stand up for one who truly teaches the Word, you'll quickly find out who the Diotrephes type is. You tell your family and your friends you want to be in a church where you can get a careful understanding of God's written Word and watch the sparks fly. You'll see who really is after an understanding of the written Word of God, who really has that kind of passion. When these believers were taking in the true teachers of God, and they were saying, that's what we want. We want apostolic instruction so that we can grow, so that we can mature, so we can have a knowledge of the Word of God. It made Diotrephes mad. And as a result, because of his position of power in the church, he started putting down these wonderful teachers of the Word. Which brings us to the third point. The Apostle John warns the church not to imitate this evil man. Notice verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Now I want you to look carefully at what this verse is saying, what John's saying about Diotrephes. This man is evil. This is not just a personality clash between the Apostle John and some high-ranking guy in the church. The implication that John makes in this verse is this man has never seen God. This man does not have a relationship with God. This man is not saved. What I find interesting is the tense of the verb when he says he has not seen God, and also the meaning of the verb, or ra'o, is the verb from which this word comes. The tense of the verb is perfect tense. The perfect tense in Greek means there's a point of action in time past which continues on into the present and right on into the future. John's statement is there's no point in time in the past, present, or on into the future where this guy has seen God. And the idea of seeing God is not just physically seeing the greatness of God. It has to do also in a sense of experiencing a relationship with God. In other words, coming to terms with the truth of God in a relationship with God in an experiential way. And John is making a statement here that Diotrephes has never had a real relationship with the Lord. This man is a high-ranking guy in the church. He does not know Jesus Christ. And when he says, the one who does good is of God, the one who does evil is not seeing God, he uses present tense verbs there. So he's saying, here's how you can tell. One who continually loves the teaching of God, one who continually wants to take in the instruction of the apostles, that one has had a point relationship with the Lord. But the one who doesn't continually want to take in the instruction of the apostles has not seen the Lord. Now, all of us need to be willing to ask ourselves a question when it comes to our ministries and service for the Lord, and that is, why do we do what we do? What is our motivation for being involved in church life? If you can honestly say, I do it for the glory of God, I want to know God, and I want to live my life for the glory of God, then you're right on where you should be in your relationship with the Lord. Now, the way I view our church, sinners have every right to come to this place, and we should be inviting sinners to come to this church to get right with God, to come to terms with truth. Sinners are welcome. But if a Diotrephes type surfaces, then we need to know this. It is our job to expose them. It's our job to cut the cancer out. It becomes our responsibility to spot Diotrephes types and not let them harm a flock. That's what John's doing here. He's spotting this guy. He's naming this guy. He did not want this flock ruined. Now, there are three parting thoughts that I leave us with from this text tonight. Number one, we must always be willing to honestly analyze our motives for what we do for the Lord in the church. Every one of us should be willing to ask ourselves, why do I do what I do? Am I doing this because this is what God wants me to do and I want to do it my best for the glory of God, or am I doing this for my own self-motive? If the answer is I'm doing this for the glory of God and I want to do my best for the Lord, then that is a high and holy motivation. Keep right on serving the Lord in that way. Your labor's not in vain. But if the answer to that question is I'm doing that for me, we must carefully guard ourselves, because that's what Diotrephes did. Secondly, we have no business befriending or sympathizing with a Diotrephes. We have no business snuggling up to somebody who wants the power, just to have the power. In fact, our job is to expose them, not snuggle up next to them. Because this kind of person can be devastating to the life of the church. This kind of person can be devastating to our spirituality. Therefore, if a Diotrephes type is surfacing, we need to expose this person, not to befriend them. And thirdly, there's a major difference between having a powerful love for the church and having a love for power in the church. A huge difference in having a powerful love for the church and a love for power in the church. And may God help us all never to be classified by Him as a Diotrephes. May we pray. Father, we thank You so much for the precious Word. And we thank You for the fact that Your Word deals with all types of subjects. Those that are wonderful, gracious, and those that are stinging. I pray, Lord, that we would all honestly and humbly analyze ourselves in light of this. I pray that our motive for serving would be a motive that wants to glorify Thee. I pray that for myself and every person connected to this fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.